Good afternoon. Today is Monday, March the 19th, 79th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, basketball fan and aficionado.
Yes, my name is John Dalby. I'm with Redwood Capital Bank, okay. And apparently he's not going to introduce me.
Yeah, okay.
It's good to see you, Brian.
Did you get to see any of the...
I have not seen any of March Madness.
You didn't go... Okay. Did you see Friday... What would it be? March Madness Friday. I don't want to say Follies. Anyway, both of our kids are playing NAIA basketball. And Oregon Tech won the Nationals last Friday.
Oh, wow.
By 17.
Wow, again.
They blew number one out of the water.
Wow, yeah.
Third victory for the Hustling Owls.
Yeah. They've done a good job there.
Yeah. Miles is... Anyway. Okay, enough inside talk. When we come back, we'll talk outside stuff. Hopefully it'll be far more enlightening and a lot more interesting across the board than talking about NAIA basketball.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. No, it's in your hands. You can read it.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. You need glasses?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I can hold these.
Well, this will be a really creative quote then.
Is this H.L. Mencken? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Love is like war, easy to begin, but very hard to stop.
Ooh. Don't we know that now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now that we've had the quote shared also.
Yeah.
With the challenges you guys have got with the regulators, that was for dramatic effect.
Right.
Yeah, okay. How do you determine proper use of staff time? A lot of businesses, and I would suggest also a lot of employees, either feel like their time is being wasted doing frivolous things that they don't understand why I'm having to do this, or that it's not the best use of their time. You've talked in the past, John, about putting people in their best position for success, identifying their strengths. If there's a job that's close to it, plug them in there, turn them loose, let them go, monitor. But in this kind of a scenario, it's a little bit different because you've got tasks at the bank, as well as we all do, that have to get done. Whether you got somebody there who's proficient at it, is really not a variable that's embraced by the regulators. Job has to get done. So how do you get the job done, even if it might not be the best use of someone's time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Interesting. Trying to balance those exact issues, especially in a highly regulated environment that we're in, and many other businesses are. I mean, whether it's
Air quality, water quality, zoning, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The hospitals have OshPod and.
Dropping down a little jargon on us.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got their issues.
Oshkosh.
So, one of the things is you got to know where the bar is set. So, you know, if we put everything on a sliding scale from 0 to 10, 10 being being absolute perfection, and 0 being not ever getting anything right. You got to know where the bar is with the regulatory body. So let's say the bar is at 7. You got to hit 7 every time in order to pass. Well, you need to set the bar above 7. So is it 8? Is it 9? But it's definitely not at 10. And then you've got to staff, make your resources available because it's too expensive to be perfect. and less perfection. Now,
but the attempt?
Well, it also depends on how important perfection is. So, for instance, in healthcare, healthcare perfection is pretty important.
Yeah, okay, you're back to your hospital. Okay, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Healthcare, because lives are on the line. So you've got to have a balance there. But yeah, you have to understand that the more you raise the bar as to where you're going to go, the more expense you're going to have. But if you lower it too much and take a chance, you could be jeopardizing your business. And it is much easier to pass the test than it is to not pass the test.
I would concur that that would be pretty straightforward with a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you, most of us want, well, to use your references, a clean bill of health. But that may not be a 10, that may not be a 9. An 8 might be okay, or like you were saying, a 7. But if everybody recognizes 7 is the minimum acceptable, how many people shoot for an 8.5 or a 9? And then if they don't quite hit it, everything's still okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what you want to do. We have a grading scale for banks, and when the regulators come in, they give us a grade. And strangely enough, it is, or maybe not so strangely enough, it is illegal for me to tell you what our grade was. And that has to be held in strict confidence. Yeah, believe it or not. Now, if we didn't get a passing grade, it becomes public record.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about it. It's out there.
We can't tell anybody. So, but with all that said, yeah, we recognize, level 1 is the best. A 2 is passing. A 3 is, needs improvement. 4 is really needs improvement. 5 is pack your bag. Somebody else is coming to run your bank.
So for most folks, then it's a pass-fail.
Exactly.
What our perception is.
Yes, exactly.
Pass-fail.
And so, we've looked at it and said, there are certain categories we don't want to be a 1 because it's just too expensive to be a 1 in that category. It takes away from the return that your shareholders are going to get. So you want that passing grade. Now, that's not true in all categories. There are categories we want to be a 1 in and
because
not a 2.
Because of the sensitivity?
Well, because it's beneficial to our shareholders, i.e. earnings.
Oh, okay. I was thinking things like making sure that people's personal records are held in 100% strict confidence. 98% there isn't going to cut it.
That's correct.
Or 95 or anything. I mean, that one's got to be an ironclad. So in some areas, you have sliding scales.
Mm-hmm. And you have to look at what your product is. If you're talking about just quality of service or quality of product, those are two different scales. So for instance, generally in services, the scale is higher what the expectation is. Let me give you an example. If you go to your accountant, it's tax season, so many of us are going to our accountants or have or are wishing we could get our stuff together.
Really soon.
Or we'll be running down there in a couple of weeks, frantically hoping. But do you go to your accountant who provides a service because they get it right 80% of the time? We expect our services that we get to be at a higher level. Do you go to the mechanic who's the lowest bidder and gets his brakes on correctly 75% of the time? No, you want the reliability of services. It's a little different with products because, you can correct that. If I give you...
You go to the restaurant,
yeah.
You only get salmonella 10% of the time?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all right.
Well,
the vendor, the retailer, yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I went to a restaurant recently. We sat down and looked around. There was nobody there. It used to be a very busy restaurant. And, I'm not going to say who it is, so don't ask. So it wouldn't be fair. But they came to fill our water glass, and I looked at them. And we went, oh, we have a dirty glass. So I, politely asked for a different glass. And I looked over to see, and my wife's glass looked the same. So I looked over my shoulder at the glasses on the other table, they look the same.
At some point.
Yeah, so at that point, you know, we said, you know, okay, you might want to check your dishwasher. I think there's something wrong with it. In the meantime, we're leaving. Because of that experience, we probably won't go to that restaurant again for a long time, nor would we, you know, recommend it to a friend. I mean, I'm not going to run around and say don't go there, but, you know, I don't want to be destructive. But at the same time, you know, that's a service.
Health and safety.
It wasn't executed appropriately, and now you have an unhappy customer. Same thing with, you know, if you get a bad meal. A lot of times you say, well, that's it. I'm not going back.
Bad is a relative scale too.
Exactly.
KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 429. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, the measurement of quality, I think often that we
I'd
look
heard
at,
it happen
yeah,
once.
Yeah, periodically. Not on a regular basis, but periodically. That a lot of times we define quality from inside the business instead of asking the customer what the customer is looking for. If you get away from the regulatory components of most businesses, do businesses know what the customer wants?
You know, that is a million-dollar question, and that is the one that really separates the great companies from the ones that maybe struggle is – understanding what the customer wants and delivering it. You know, I just had this thought. My wife and I traveled this last weekend, and we stayed in a motel one night, and we had a great experience. It was a very nicely restored old hotel. I mean, when I say old, not historic. I mean, an old cinder block hotel that somebody restored very nicely and did some really special things, and the service was great, and the rooms were well done, and you know, we had a great experience. I'm sitting there going, you know, the one thing I think that owners of hotels don't do and probably should is sleep in every room, you know, at least once every, you know, quarter. Every room. Spend the night so that you see, you know what's leaking, what's not, what they hear, you know, are there smells or, you know, just are there things that need to be, you know, fixed in this room to enhance the experience. And I think that would make a big difference. And of course this one was one we had a positive experience, but
right. But one of the things that is always very interesting for me is to ask a business owner, why do you think people come here? And then ask the customers, why do you come here? The distinction between the two can be stunning at times. So I'm wondering, when we talk about quality, does the business operator really understand what the customer's definition of quality is? Or is it their own? That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I filled up the whole break, so now we're going to the news. It's 4:31.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 435. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with a fading bank dude, John Dalby.
Fading? Boy,
fading.
Boy, have I been insulted.
No.
You do this to all your guests?
Yeah.
How rude.
Yeah. No.
How wooed.
Do a lot of businesses, John, when they're thinking of regulations and what has to get done, do we include the customer in the mix?
That's a good question.
No, it can't be.
I
hit my quota in the first segment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can't have more than one good question. Dang, he's stumping me on these. Yeah. Well, I think it has to do with the nature of the regulation. I mean, strictly, you know, you got to have walls that are this far apart and, you know, so forth. You know, and there are some regulations that tend to be a little petty. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Periodically, I might stumble upon one or two of them, yeah.
But, you know, most regulations are actually there to protect the customer. To protect their health, to protect their safety, their security, to make sure that they're not deceived and so forth.
Or the employees.
Right, or the employees. So, yeah. You know, most of them are there for a good reason. And so, you know, probably most of them probably keep the employee or the customer in mind when they're written. You know, sometimes it makes it harder for them to do their job, but...
We rise to our challenge.
But on that one, I'm not an expert. I don't know. How's that?
Go talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
it seems to me that there are those things that are almost not spiritual, but intent is a big component of it. And there are others that are just black and white. Yes or no, you got to do this or that. My sense is very regularly the either new business person or the really experienced business person will seem to treat the two as the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really not. You know, the procedural steps that are guidelines that we do to increase or maintain customer satisfaction is significantly different than here comes the federal banking guys and they're asking the same kind of question. Your response is going to be different because of the setting. Your response is going to be different because of the magnitude of what's being asked and because of who's asking it.
Right. Well, there are certain laws and violations that result in, you know, penalties, potentially jail sentences, et cetera. You know, they're absolute. You will never do this ever, ever, ever. A lot of them are simply pattern and practice, meaning, you know, it's okay to have an occasional violation. It's kind of expected because of the nature of the rule, but certainly they don't want to see a pattern in practice that this is the way it's done all the time. And so you need to understand each regulation and how it's being enforced. And as we know in this county, enforcement of laws can be, you know, very subjective based on the person who is the enforcer. And we've even seen that in the bank. There are regulators that come in that are looking for anything. Their objective is to take you down. And there
so
are
there
those
are,
that are
profit motive,
yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. Interesting you mentioned that one. And
got a little close to home on that
one? Well, no, it's on another organization. But, it's interesting when the people that are coming in looking over your shoulder are in commission based on what they find.
That would probably be a healthy thing to know in advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that ran in the banking industry that was really difficult was there was a lot of temporary hires that were trying to get on as career people. So they were trying to make a case of how deep they could dig and
what they could
find. Yeah. And so as opposed to the ones that are really there to say, you know, because when the regulators come in, we look at them, okay, really, you're trying to make us a better bank. and we're going to work with you. And when you give us good ideas, we're going to implement them immediately, and then we're going to show you that we followed through, and there are just not going to be any repeat violations. If you tell us we did something wrong, you know, once, you're not going to come back and find that we did it again. And then we have a whole, you know, set of metrics and make sure that we don't have those things happen.
So as you're looking at the different type of environment that you're working in, whether it's let's say it's OSHA, completely different set of standards than what the banking guys are.
OSHA is an absolute. You will not do right. this.
So would you suggest businesses assign the same areas of responsibility for different sets of rules? Or would it be better to have somebody who is better in the banking handle the banking stuff, somebody who's better with, let's say it's OSHA, handle that, and not have the same person responsible for rules and regulations?
You've got to have a mindset of or a culture of compliance. And it needs to be built into what leadership directs people to do. So when you're building your processes of how you do things, how you lay out the building, how customers interact with you, you're thinking both efficiency and compliance at the same time. And where you get into problems is when you have the compliance guy over here and you have over here the production guy, and they're two different people with two different objectives, and all they do is fight because they don't have the same goal. So you have to build that culture that everybody is thinking, okay, this is what I'm trying to accomplish. Here are the restraints of compliance, and you know, I build that into the process to make myself efficient despite the additional work.
Cultural versus informational? Or is there a blending of both?
It's both. You can provide all the information, but if leadership doesn't believe in compliance, compliance doesn't take place. If leadership doesn't believe in and act on quality doesn't take place. If they don't act in an efficient manner, efficiencies won't take place.
But if I tell you to do something and don't tell you the why, and the guy on the other side that you've been doing battle with, I tell him to do it, but I don't tell him why, I would bet that there really isn't much of an embracing of that.
Yeah, that's part of the culture. And anytime you're trying to get somebody to change a behavior, you know, the art of change and getting people to change, a big part of it is to inform them why, or even better yet, have them discover it on their own. But if I just tell you from now on, you will wear white socks, you're probably going to be resistant to the, you are wearing white socks. No.
It matches my pocket protector.
You will wear a tacky tie.
Oh, I see.
No, you're not. He's not. He's wearing a very, very handsome tie today. But anyway, the point being is, that, now you got me laughing, sorry.
Good, well, I'll let you recover then. KINS, News and Information Times 443. We'll figure out our wardrobe and customer service and quality when we return.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 447. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, as a business operator, are trying with full intent and warmness of heart to really do the best job. How do you know if you're doing the best job?
Oh, you got to measure it. You got to measure it, and by a third party, or at least in a way that you're going to get a realistic evaluation of what you're doing, asking your friends, if they really are your friends, you're probably not going to get a realistic evaluation.
How about your customers?
Yes, but you have to do it in a way that they feel free.
Right. If there's an issue, they have a chance. Yeah.
Yes, that they can write what they want to write. And in fact, we do that at the bank. We send out regularly. We mail out, if you've been into the bank, you probably have received one of our letters, saying how was our service. In fact, we were doing it so much that we started getting complaints from customers that were filling them out two or three
times
a year.
Same as last time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't ask me again, you're wonderful, but just don't send me another letter. So maybe we went overkill on it. But, you got to get that feedback. You got to know. And the feedback's good for a couple of reasons. One, if you're making mistakes, you're going to find out. The earlier you find out the mistake you're making, the fewer of them you're going to make. Two, if you're doing well, your staff gets a real charge out of somebody writing how wonderful they are. And you know what? Now they want to be wonderful some more.
Ever have a concern of unrealistic customer expectations?
Yes.
I want that warm chocolate chip cookie every time I come in. Not just a chocolate chip, a warm chocolate. And the milk better be pretty cold, too. Low fat, by the way.
Yeah. Managing expectations is a whole nother topic for us someday.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like April.
But yes, you will have customers. There are certain customers that when they write their letter complaining about something that, that regardless of whatever you did for them, they would, there are people in this world like that, believe it or not. And, so you got to take that one with a grain of salt. And you got to reassure your staff person that, hey, let's walk through. What did you do? I think you did everything appropriately. And I don't think you were going to make this person happy no matter what.
This is a one percenter.
Right.
Rather than 99%. Let's focus
Correct.
On what
yeah.
we're doing right.
Yeah. yeah. Kind of like, kind of like you, Brian.
Which one?
Yeah, we just can't keep you happy.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Well, if you just raise the doorways.
Yeah.
That's all it would take.
Well, we should have a program on the discrimination against the tall. Airplane seats.
Oh, there's...
When they trim the trees, they don't trim them high enough.
That's right. Trails and spiders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get all the spider webs, right? Because nobody knocked down the ones up that high.
Yeah, we'll consider that one after managing client expectations.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by, bud. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.